Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, dear listeners? I hope you've been getting used to the fall weather. Seems like it's officially time to put the summer stuff away or just shove it to the back of the closet, whatever the case may be. You are now tuned in to Asian Wave 101, your dedicated weekly source for some of the best and latest in Asian music and entertainment news for CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Steve Zhang, live in the beautiful city of Vancouver from our studio on the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. First off, thank you all for tuning in today. I don't think I really say that enough, but I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in each week. Thank you also to John Q from Q It Up, another great show. John, if you're listening right now, let me say I love your delivery and the eclectic mixes you bring us each week. Now on to our music for the week. The first song I have is from Hong Kong, sung in Cantonese, a language I've been neglecting a bit lately. It's by the very famous singing duo Twins, though they are not actually related, or twins for that matter. The duo is made up of Charlene Choi and Jillian Chung. They had been working in the industry in some capacities, and later auditioned to be part of the duo with their label, Emperor Entertainment. They debuted well over a decade ago in 2001. When they were both in their 20s, and have released 12 Cantonese albums, 4 Mandarin albums, and countless singles. They have won many major awards and have countless high-charting songs. Their fame extends past Hong Kong into Taiwan, China, Thailand, even Japan and Singapore. And in 2008, they hit a sort of rocky portion of the road in their journey as a group when Jillian was caught up in Edison Chen's photo scandal when some rather compromising photos were leaked online. Though it was not just her, many female celebrities were caught in that, like Cecilia Chung. She wasn't the only one, but the public backlash towards her and Twins was huge that they ended up taking a 2-year hiatus. Jillian remained out of the public eye for most of that time, and they returned in 2010 for a performance at an event together, and followed with a Mandarin album in 2011. They've managed to remain one of the most popular musical acts in Hong Kong to this day, and for the past 3 years, they've mostly focused on their individual activities. The song from Twins today is called Da Guo Tian, or Greater Than Days. It's off their 2012 album To Be Free. It's about what you'd expect from music sung in a Chinese language. It's a ballad, but the thing about Twins is that they have this distinct Twins singing style, the way that they match their pitch, this Twins harmony, if that makes any sense. Unfortunately, my Cantonese is even worse than my Korean. I understand almost nothing. But from what I can gather, they're singing about whether or not love really is something that is greater than the sky or days. Kind of how one has to understand when to let go, but not to regret anything that happens, because it's not as big a deal as you make it to be. A bit of an explanation, of course, because the word Tian in Chinese, it means sky, but it also means day, and in some instances, it could also mean heaven. So that's coming up next. Let's check it out now.
Thank you. 因我在转，有限才怀念以前，万大事别要失眠，回头望那时迷恋，天涯妄想怎可拜过天，活这共爱哪个也能随在从前大声口，一大事绝不轻易，自己心思也在转，放弃爱也不惊爱放弃我，最怕没有选择权，中看繁星，天空比往日远，走进旧时风筝趁风吹到那样
That was Twins with Greater Than the Sky, one of Hong Kong and C-pop's few duos. They haven't been terribly active lately, but both of them are actresses and models. They have plenty of musical material released. Go and check them out. Up next, I have a rookie group from South Korea called Monsta X. They're signed by Starship Entertainment, the home of Sistar and Mad Clown. They are a 7-member hip-hop boy group, and they debuted in May of this year, May 2015. The 7 members were selected out of a batch of trainees through the survival show No Mercy. They are one of several groups debuting under just about every label you can imagine who are rocking with a quote-unquote hip-hop concept. But the music they do actually falls under the hip-hop genre, and the rappers of the group are actually genuinely talented. And prior to his debut, member Chuhun actually released a mixtape as a sort of display of his rapping prowess. He went on Show Me the Money this year and was hit with the usual insults aimed at idol rappers. The whole, oh, you wear makeup and do music that's not genuine, it's pop-washed, it's sugar-coated, you just suck. And do those insults have merit? For the most part, yes, they do. But Chuhun brushed them off, saying he raps better than most of these rappers anyway, before promptly giving them the middle finger salute. Whatever your opinion may be towards groups like Monsta X, the 7 guys who make up the group are genuinely talented performers. Chuhun is the first to rap on this track, so listen and decide for yourself if he's really as good as he says he is. So the track was produced by G.R. Boy, a very well-respected rapper, singer, and producer signed to underground hip-hop artist Swing's Just Music Entertainment. It's just a fun, catchy song. Let's check it out. Monsta X, Rush.
Okay, Starship, let's go. 내게 와 신속히 갑자기 비오듯 샷해 내게 와 신속히 쟤네는 신경지 내게 와 신속히 갑자기 비오듯 샷해 내게 와 신속히 Oh yeah, 저기 밖에 비 온다 주룩주룩 꽈 신속하게 내게 올라타라 브룸브룸 지금 blow 영차를 blow 빠진 콜라도 몸에 blah Girl 넌 너무 예뻐 어떻게 이뤄 You are crazy virus 털고 싶어 머리 어깨 무릎 팔까지 심지어 매력 있어 네 가진 눈 짝다리 네가 뭐 니를 부를 때 Real man 내가 미쳤나 봐 어떡해 분이 1초 같아 너무 급해 난 돌 것 같아 여유 부리는 남자들 전부 돌인 것 같아 너도 원하고 있잖아 몇분 없어 주위 봐봐 다른 남자 다 너를 간과 나는 너만 봐 머리 쓰지 말고 맘대로 가 고민하지 말고 담으러 가 이러 저의 가방 메고 붕붕 내게 와 신속히 내게 와 신속히 내게 와 신속히 내게 와 신속히 I am what I am, man
Okay. I got a phone call. 도대체 몇 명의 남자들이 너의 폰이라 저가 방에 있니? 다른 남자들의 자리를 말해내 음식 먹고 너 같은 빙그린 놀 자리. 재미없지 감동 없지 싱거워 너네들은 하나같이 간이 많이 안 됐지. 소금 진하게 쳐줄게 가서 찾아 무서워 찾아 이제 가서 일로 둘을 말해. 네가 다 이럴 때 We're a man, we're a man, we're a man. 내게 딱 뒤를 맞을 때 어떻게 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 백 번을 찍어야 할 것 같아. 가만 보는 애들은 모르는 스타일. 여유 부리는 남자들 전부 돌인 것 같아. 너도 원하고 있잖아. 너뿐 없어 주위 봐봐. 다른 남자 다 너를 간과. 나는 너만 봐. 나는 너만 봐. 머리 쓰지 말고 마음대로 가. 고민하지 말고 잠으로 가. 이러 가. 이러 설까봐 매고 boom boom. 내게 와 신소 king. Boom boom. 내게 와 신소 king. Boom boom. 내게 와 신소 king. Boom 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 boom. 내게 와 신소 king. Boom boom. Boom boom.
우리 사이 조짐을 지워.
내게 와 신속하게 주인 남자들이 전부 나를 질투하게 해줘.
새로운 하루
내게 와 신속히 hey. 갑자기 be on this. 내게 와 신속히 갑자기 be on this. 내게 와 신속히 쟤는 내 신겁지 that's why. 내게 와 신속히 갑자기 be on this. 내게 와 신속히 쟤는 내 신겁지.
That was Monsta X with Rush. They may very well be another gimmick thrown together by a label to take advantage of the most profitable trend in Korean pop music at this time. But truthfully, they do have potential to be a musical force to be reckoned with if they ever get the chance to do the music that they want to do rather than whatever the label throws their way. After all, hip-hop is a method of self-expression. You do what you want to do, and you do what feels right. And the important thing is that you're representing yourself and what it is that you think and want to say. And that's truly what doing hip-hop really is. It's not about the fanciest cars. It's not about the money. It's not about swag. It's about doing you. So the next song I have is also from South Korea, and it's quite possibly the most iconic song of the 2000s era of K-pop. It's by the Brown Eyed Girls, and the listeners who are already fans of K-pop will know which one I'm talking about. It's Abracadabra. So as a group, they debuted in 2006 with a more slicker image, kind of essentially an R&B-based group. In 2009, which is when Abracadabra was released, they completely revamped their image, going for a more sultry vixen-y type of feel. And some claim that their song was what set off the trend of making electronica slash electropop music big in South Korea. And the song also spawned a world-famous dance referred to as Shigeon Bangchum, or the Arrogant Dance, as it's sometimes called in English. And through its style and its dance, it became huge. It caused significant controversy for being one of the first music videos with really explicit kind of sexually charged imagery and production and concept overall. The song itself is about obsession, and it makes reference to voodoo, actually. In the lyrics, it says, I cast a spell on a doll that looks like you. The song itself gets quite dark. I see you with another girl. I'm begging you to break up with her, and kind of like casting a spell on this person and trying to subject them to their every whim in a way. And by all means, The lyrical content and the song itself is actually fairly tame. But the music video was what really got people angry at the time. It was just unheard of, never before seen type of music video that just rubbed a few people the wrong way. Still, it's a cool song, and I wouldn't call it a classic song. It's not quite old enough yet, but let's check it out now.
Got you. Explore music that spans Eric Satie's Musique d'Embaumont to Lawrence English's dense electronic drones and nomadic streams, Vancouver New Music's 2015 Festival of Ambient Music. Nomadic Streams runs from October 22nd to 24th. For more information, visit newmusic.org.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Back here live on Asian Wave 101, and right before the break, we heard Brown Eyed Girls with Abracadabra. Very cool song. It made the Brown Eyed Girls the hottest topic of 2009, that year's real music industry leader in terms of girl groups. And 2010, they actually won the Korean Music Award for Best Dance / Electronic Song for Abracadabra. And fun fact, member Kayin actually watched sensual movies, not porn, but apparently quote-unquote sensual movies in order to prepare for the music video shoot. Up next, I have a song from an emo punk band from Taiwan called Ba San Yao, or 831 in Mandarin. Yao is another way of saying one. And they debuted in 2009 and gained considerable notoriety for creating the theme song for a television show called Circus Action. And they released their first album that year, titled Save the World. They have a very, very distinct sound, one that is extremely rare within Mandarin music. There's rock, there's pop, there's ballads, but there's never really been too much in terms of punk music. The song that I have from them today is a single they released in 2014 called The Runaway. No lie, it's really, really dark. Put it this way, they repeat Hao Sha several times in the chorus, and translate it from Mandarin into English, it means kill. Literally, it means easy to kill. The song is a story about this crushing, overbearing love they can't seem to escape from. It bears down on them. It's almost inducing a sort of paranoia within them. They're not talking about killing this person, but more addressing maybe death is the only way to really escape this. So it's really dark, completely unheard of content, maybe not the type of music you want to be hearing today, but it's cool to explore this side, this aspect of Chinese music. Ballads get old, and that's just the thing about ballads. And checking out some punk music from Taiwan should be a very interesting experience for us all. That's coming up next, and after we'll have Han Seung-yeon of Korean girl group Kara with a solo song titled Guilty.
说情话是没放心上，没谁说你好坏要小心有假，最骂鸡的吉他也被你绑架，随时任性下下千刀万剐，年华多名连环打了又打，死当。
That was Taiwanese band 831 with The Runaway, and after that was Han Sung-yeon of Kara with Guilty. Sung-yeon is the member of Kara that never really had the chance to shine out on her own. This song really helped her do that. She has a much more a much sharper vocal tone, but she softened her voice a bit for this song and delivered what really was a solid solo effort. In the song, she makes allusions to the things that she loved and lost and reflects on why that may have happened, essentially suggesting that she's guilty of causing that loss. Just some nice rock tunes, which is rare in Asian music outside of Japan. But now it is once again that time of the week where we check in on just some of the latest news to come out of the Asian entertainment world with Asian Entertainment News. Now, right now I have a guest in here with me. Why don't you say hello to everyone real quick?
Oh, hello. I'm Scott. I'm the technical coordinator at the station. I've been on the show before, actually.
Mm-hmm. And it was a fun time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good hour.
Okay, so of course, every single week I have to deliver this sort of news, and luckily, this news doesn't really have to do with the nuances of the Asian entertainment industry, but more with just certain ethics and certain standards that may seem strange to us, but also it could be something that is very big within those countries, within those industries. So that's the first story I kind of want to talk about, because in South Korea, Mnet, a broadcasting network, issued an apology over inappropriate content aired. So earlier this week, one of South Korea's major broadcasting companies, the aforementioned Mnet, issued an official apology over some content aired in its shows, in the shows that it produces. The Korea Communications Standards Commission actually fined the network in August for failing to censor content deemed inappropriate. When it began airing the second season of Unpretty Rap Star, it issued its official apology for failing to meet broadcasting rules. In their official apology notice, they said, "It is true that on the June 26th broadcast of Show Me the Money 4, Mnet displayed lyrics with profanity and sexual content with negative portrayals of certain genders. It is also true that some contestants pulled off their clothing to reveal their underwear and used profane gestures on screen. The cable TV network concluded with a promise to deliver correct and fair broadcasting from now on." Currently airing is Unpretty Rap Star 2, and it seems that Mnet is actually taking the action they promised, with certain parts of the show being censored so much to such a degree that full lines can't actually even be comprehensible anymore. So I know the actions that they're talking about specifically. There was one incident where a contestant on Show Me the Money 4, which is actually a hip-hop music rap survival show, he performed a song where his lyrics essentially translates over to, "I get these ladies' legs spread in like a gynecologist." Now, first and foremost, I can see exactly where it is that people find offensive, because, you know, gynecology within that practice, it is something that is extremely private, confidential to women, and overall, it just comes off as extremely degrading. But at the same time, just to play devil's advocate, it is more or less just a really lazy rapper's way of saying, look at all the ladies I get.
Yeah, basically.
Uh-huh. But what do you think overall of this particular situation?
Well, it sort of fits in with a poetic license kind of deal. It's the it's a very crude way of comparing it and a crude way of saying what he's trying to say. There's better ways to say it. It's obviously, whenever you're in the rap scene or any other music, you're going to maybe brag about how many women you've had sexual encounters with or whatever, and it's just a really poor way of putting it, but at the same time it's one of the poetic license things that if they had a specific content warning before that, which you know you're required to do in Canada on their networks, it might have been less of an issue. And people, I don't really understand Korean culture well enough on how they relate to sexuality to sort of see how Koreans might take it, but I know in North America people would have been like, oh yeah, it's not great, but it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm. But you can kind of see where the people who may have been offended are kind of coming from in this regard, right?
100%.
Yeah. But the rapper in question, his name is Minho, he actually has issued an apology regarding that, which I find a little bit strange, because hip-hop in itself is so unapologetic.
Yeah.
Because it is like a genre of self-expression. You kind of say whatever's on your mind, and then you don't really take it back. You kind of just let it go from there. If people take it wrong, then that's on them.
Yeah, well, this sort of ties in with kind of back in the day when people were criticizing Eminem for having homophobic lyrics or lyrics that seemed directed against gay people, and people always wanted to censor that or thought it was this horrible thing. But Eminem's not a homophobe, but he just happens to use that language as part of his artistic expression. And he does make quite a fair argument when people talk about it, when people kind of ask him.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So I think we'll leave it at that from now on. It's really just on how you look at it.
Yeah.
So next up, and it's actually an extremely interesting bit of news that I saw regarding movies in China. And Wolf Totem has been withdrawn as China's entry to the Oscars Best Foreign Language Film category. The film's director, Oscar Award winner Jean-Jacques Annaud, says he is stupefied that the film has been dropped on the grounds that it's not sufficiently Chinese, referring to it as a Banana Republic level of arbitrariness. News had been circulating the entire month that this film would be China's entry to the category. Citing a letter from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, Annaud said he was told, "When we looked at the creative makeup of Wolf Totem and realized that the director, two of the three writers, one of the producers, and the director of photography, the editor, and the composer were not Chinese, we determined that the film could not qualify as a Chinese entry." He accused Hollywood of taking a quote-unquote nearly protectionist double standard, where American cinema can feed off foreign talent without reservation, but foreign cinema must remain tribal. Wolf Totem is based on the book of the same name, which tells the story of a young man from Beijing who goes to Mongolia to work there during the Cultural Revolution. The film explores the cultures and traditions of the nomadic Mongolians and their relationship with the Han Chinese farmers. The film was replaced with Go Away, Mr. Tumor, a domestic film about a cartoonist's optimistic and tear-jerking battle with cancer. So whatever the case may be, the big standout thing regarding this particular thing, regarding this story, is that it was rejected on the grounds that it wasn't Chinese enough. But that something like that is really open to interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, people have had that conversation in Canada about whether something is Canadian enough. We're a radio station that has to play so much Canadian content, so that's always on our minds. And we have, you know, certain qualifiers if it's Canadian or not. And it's generally if the persons who are composing it or playing it or wrote it, if there's a certain percentage, I forget exactly what it is, it's Canadian. And that's, you know, regardless of the content of the song, if it's about Canada or not. But this is interesting in that a lot of the people aren't Chinese, but it's based off a book that's written in that kind of Chinese culture, as well as kind of lost my train of thought. It doesn't have a lot of Chinese people writing it or producing it or all that, so which is an interesting thing to me, because it's kind of that flip perspective in that there's not a lot of people involved in the production who might not be Chinese, but there's a lot of culture nonetheless.
Yeah, it seems that it's mostly because a lot of the key people are not Chinese.
Yes.
AKA the director, two of three producers, and, you know, director of photography, and all of this. Two of the three writers, of the producers is not Chinese. So I can kind of see where the Academy may be coming from, because certain integral parts of creating this vision that will be turned into a film is not the vision of a Chinese artist. Is the vision. So I can kind of see where they're going, what they're going towards. But the fact is that this is something that is, you know, very much a big part of Chinese culture. It was an amazing work of literature, which I had the pleasure of reading a bit of. I won't go too deep into it. It's really complex.
Okay.
But the fact is that kind of the groundwork is already there.
Yeah.
But I guess they're,
exactly.
But it's kind of what they're saying is that it's maybe becoming a little bit diluted due to this outside influence.
Yeah, the Academy definitely has a pretty valid argument, but they do have that groundwork of was the writer Chinese or the original book?
Yes, okay, definitely.
Yeah. So they do have that groundwork, and they do have what it sounds like a small portion of people on the team who are Chinese that are involved in the film's production. So is it enough? It's kind of a hard sell, and it would kind of take looking at the film itself to see, you know, is this actually portraying it and having reviewers that are Chinese? Because it's also accusing white people of not being able to understand Chinese culture, which is slightly incorrect. Like, it's definitely harder for us because we didn't grow up in that, but it's still possible for us to live in China or grow up with a lot of Chinese friends as I did and understand quite a bit of Asian culture.
And kind of just like pick up bits and pieces of something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's fair. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Scott, and offering your take on this.
Yeah.
It's always fun to do stuff like this, of course. So that will do it for this week's Asian Entertainment News. We'll cover some more stories and some more reports next week. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got more music on Asian Wave 101. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
But what if I'm right? The debut album by Revered releases on November 4th, along with the spectacle of a show at the Fox Cabaret. Come celebrate composer and frontman Emmett Hall's musical indulgence into a pseudo-new wave prog rock catharsis of ego, an effigy to be truly revered. Doors at 7:30, tickets are $5. Visit revered.bandcamp.com for more.
Every day I know, everything will go the length I'm willing to admit.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Back here live on Asian Wave 101, and coming up, we have more music on the show. The next artist I have is named William Wei, Chinese name Wei Li An, which is most likely how he got the name William. He is another artist known for creating a bit of a fusion style. He performs mostly within the folk rock genre. He began posting his self-produced music online in 2006 and received a lot of media attention when he was crowned champion of a variety show back in Taiwan. He debuted in 2009 with the EP Patiently Waiting, and he released a self-titled full album in 2010 and won the Best New Artist Award at the 22nd Golden Melody Awards in 2011. The song I have from William, aka Waybird, which is a name that he performs under on occasion, is off his 2014 album The Fear, and it's called Lang or Wolf. It's a prime example of the rock style he's known for. It actually gets quite aggressive at times in the song. It's the furthest thing from the typical Mandarin song. It uses the metaphor of a beast that gradually consumes a person from the inside out. He gnaws at them, changing their skin and being into that of a monster. They try to fight it, but they can't escape and can't be recognized as human any longer. The song is about sin and evil and how it can consume a person in ways that can just change so drastically who they are to the point where not even close friends and family can recognize them. That's coming up next on Asian Wave 101.
恨不得一点不舍。 彻底摧毁承诺。像一股风，心手是不瞑目的泪痕。寻求喘息的体温，不在意湖水冰冷，湖面倒影的飘纹，是谁熟悉的人？堕落到流情不忍。失去了方寸，别害怕，别害怕，还有一盏灯，还有一盏灯，还有人幸存，还有人幸存，还没有沉沦。耶、yeah, ，我害怕光芒不再沸腾，那饥饿的眼神将我生活破吞，恨不得，恨不得，恨得一点不剩，将我彻底摧毁。
That was William Way, a.k.a. Waybird Way, with Wolf. Something that you really don't hear quite often in Chinese music. Basically just something really carnal, just kind of addressing the fact that evil is within all of us and could possibly consume us all if we allow it to. It's good to see just these talented singer-songwriters doing something that isn't the cookie-cutter, bread-and-butter, lovey-dovey ballads of Mandarin music. So to him, I salute you, William. Keep doing what you do. So next, I have our Canadian artist of the week. He is a Vancouver-based singer-songwriter named Daniel Kim. But he is not just a singer-songwriter. He is a producer, composer. He is a DJ and also a filmmaker and a motivational speaker and just an all-around very talented person. I reached out to him and he was very gracious to let me play this song today called Letting Go. And it's in a bit of a electronic house type of genre, and since he is a DJ, this is kind of like one of his styles. And if you actually enjoy going on the YouTube a lot, you might actually know him from his Pop Danthologies, which is him just mashing up all the big songs of a particular year and just performing them in such a fun way. So shout out to him, thank you so much. And that's his song coming up next, Letting Go.
I believed I could find
That was Daniel Kim with Letting Go, and you know, in addition to his YouTube stuff, he's actually also appeared on CBC's Song Camp with a whole bunch of other YouTube stars and YouTube musicians, and just coming together and just working on the craft that they all love so much. And he actually went to Korea for a little bit, and he auditioned for some of those reality singing competition shows for a couple times. He showed up and he did good, but once again, much love to Daniel Kim. Amazing song, amazing artist. Go and check him out on his YouTube channel. So the next song that I have is by Hong Kong diva Gem, and it's called Moments. And this one, very self-explanatory. It's just about those moments of bliss and of happiness that just seem to stay with you forever, no matter what seems to go on. You kind of linger on those moments. You keep those memories, and they just seem clearer, more vivid than anything else. And actually, you probably know me well enough by now. I'm a big fan of simplicity. This one is just a straight piano ballad, just simple, soothing melodies, and her just singing her heart out in her usual strong, expressive voice. So let's check it out now. Gem, Moments.
Oh, my. 说再见。啊啊！你的出现，你的告别，都在一瞬间。思念也不难熬，沉默也彼此明了，爱放心里就好，这是我们的平调。你无声的问好，我无痕迹的微笑，但人却能忘掉，像我们当时的心跳。啊啊，我们遇见，我们相恋，我们说再见。啊现在的你快不快乐？人来人往，是谁陪你看着花开花着？如果那是我，如果你也曾想过，只是世界不能在乎我们快不快乐。秋去秋来，我们能说什么舍不舍得？轻轻触碰过，至少不完全错过。谁心不灭，爱的一瞬间。
That was Jim with Moments, just a nice soothing piano ballad for all the listeners out there right now. And that unfortunately will take us to the end of today's program. I have one last song to end off with, and it's by a dude named Chancellor and Bumkey. Now, Chancellor actually is a veteran artist. He is originally known as Chance, and he was part of an R&B trio in Korea called One Way. And after a while, he split off. He's actually a part of Double Sidekick Music. They have been responsible for some of the biggest hits in Korea for the past few years, and they've expanded from just a producing duo into a team of a dozen different producers. So this song is actually a tribute to the one and only Jay Dilla, rest in peace to one of the greatest, and it's called So Iga, which, if I am correct, it means two hands or double hands. And essentially, it's just kind of talking about how he'd love to be kind of like the helping hand to this person that he loves. It's just got a really nice, snappy, jazzy style, very melodic, just some good R&B and soulful, and an amazing tribute to Jay Dilla. So that will play us out today. Thank you once again to Scott for coming in here. That will do it for this week's Asian Wave 101. If you have any thoughts on today's news or requests for me, send it my way, asianwave101@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I'm Steve. This has been Asian Wave 101. Thank you so much for tuning in. Arts Report is coming up next. They got a couple interviews, and the crew is coming in here to just spread some news about all the great things happening in the art scene. Chancellor and Bumkey to play us out. Take care, everyone. Peace. Don't
24/7. Nasangwan up sa play go away.
No, no.
Nasangwan up sa play go away.
She's under my covers. 나도 모르게 손이 가.
Welcome to this week's Arts Report. You are with me, Ashley, and I'm joined by...
Jake Clark.
Hi, Jake. And today we have so many great new stuff for you. I have with us, from Vancouver Chamber Choir's, Mr. John Washburn. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. And what we're going to do for you today is we have a wonderful interview with John as well as some other guests, but let's get right to it. So you are the conductor of Vancouver Chamber Choir.
Yes.
And
I am.
It's been about, I think it's the 45th anniversary this year, right?
That's true, yes.
And can you tell us more about this upcoming event? You guys are working with Early Music Vancouver and Pacific Music Works for the Monteverdi Vespers of 1610.
You've got it, Monteverdi Vespers, 1610. And 1600 was the period of time when there was a major arts transformation happening. The end of the Renaissance, the beginning of the Baroque period. And